This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Each and every day here during the second hour, welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's 10 Fingers and 11 Toes by the Chicago garage rock band The Ponies. Unfortunately, as far as we know, Jaren Jackson only has 10 toes. This cannot be a next toe up situation. You just got to repair what you got.
So we've been discussing it. There's obviously some like dumb sports thoughts of turf toe and you play basketball. Like, well, there's no turf.
We've been down this road. Yeah. Desmond Bane played with the turf toe and he was a shell of himself. And then when the season ended, he had surgery. Darius Garland just played with turf toe in the playoffs and was a shell of himself. And the season ended and then he had surgery. And so if you want, you know, Jaren to suck it up and just wait and play with it in 4 months, it may be a problem that lingers more than a few weeks into the season.
No, there's definitely that perspective. I guess, though, I feel like having surgery to repair turf toes a somewhat new thing.
I'm not learning enough on injury history to tell you that, but I will tell you that Darius Garland literally just
no, well, that's this. The thing. It's like it's I also view it, though. It's probably right. Like, for instance, the tightrope surgery, the first people I ever remember doing the tightrope surgery with high ankle sprain was actually Alabama under Saban. And I'm sitting there going, like, if the NFL's not doing this, is this like really wizarding science? Well, lo and behold, they really were just ahead of the curve. Like, the tightrope surgery then became the norm and whatnot. I think it just more speaks to, are the Grizzlies injury prone? Is it something every fan base thinks? Is there something they do differently? Or is this just crap luck?
It is 100% something that every fan base thinks. People in Memphis properly see the NBA through a Grizzlies prism. People in Salt Lake City see the NBA through a Jazz 100%. Prism, right? And so whatever happens that's bad, you think, how does this always happen to us? How is it an us thing? Again, you look around the league. Darius Garland, a lot of major players are having surgery early in the summer. Darius Garland with the turf toe, Jalen Williams with the wrist, he's going to miss the start of next season. Jaylen Brown of Boston, knee surgery, may miss the start of next season. It's pretty common. This in the realm of injury, it's not ideal, obviously, but in the big picture, like this is not a big deal. He may miss the start of the season. He may not. I think that's up in the air, but certainly he might miss the start of the season. He'll be playing, but Jaren Jackson will be playing basketball before Zach Edey is. You know, I think this is not the biggest injury issue the Grizzlies are facing going into next season.
No, because I was telling Jeff earlier, when you found out that Jaren, he pulled his hamstring, right, in training camp last year. Was it hammy?
Yeah. And they basically set him out through training camp and preseason. I think he missed the first two games of the season.
He missed the first two. And then
he played like, you know.
It was like 51 straight.
Right.
It was insane. Like, there's that side of it. I think, though, for me, there's a larger discussion of, is the NBA seeing an increase of injuries, or is it like we're just more aware?
I believe, and this is not something I've committed to study. This is like my own observational hunch. I believe that the game is harder than it used to be. I don't mean like guys are tougher or blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about, you can literally track the speed and miles in which players move.
100% agree. We were talking about this earlier. The amount, the the pace that everybody, the slowest team now is still.
It's a different kind of pace and intensity in terms of wear and tear and movement.
And the game's gotten way more vertical.
Right. And so more jumping, more sprinting, more, it's just more, it's a hard, it's a more of a load from movement. And I am, the NBA is very reluctant to say this is true because they don't want to reduce the length of the season. And again, I have not committed. I don't have a white paper on this to cite, but I believe
you're on a TED Talk.
I actually talked to Jaron specifically about this during the season last year. And I included some of the stuff of him in a column I wrote when I was writing about like the lower minutes and the pace and all of that. And he basically said something, I don't paraphrase him. He basically said, you know, playing 28 minutes in this style is like playing 38, you know, before or whatever, in terms of what it feels like to your body. So I think there's, I don't, this may have nothing to do with Jarrett's current injury, but I think in a broad sense, I do think that's an issue for the league in terms of acknowledging the amount of wear and tear that you're putting on the players' bodies. Yeah.
I do wonder if there is a point in which they have to address it, because whenever anyone points out the simplest solutions, cut down the number of games. Well, right now it's like a non-starter. And it's a non-starter, in fairness, on two fronts. It's not just, everyone thinks it's, oh, it's the owners are never going to give up the money. Players don't want to give up the money either.
Right.
So they both are going to not vote for that. But I do wonder, as if you look at their business model, their most valuable product that they sell is their playoff games.
Right.
It's all their, like, in the end, yeah, you can have the 82-game inventory, but that's not what's making them money. What's making them money is basically for 3 months, from April through June, they have the what's watched the most. I do wonder if there can be a point in which they sit there and go, maybe we should cut the regular season
down. Every playoffs becomes a war of attrition, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, they increased their inventory of postseason games with the play-in tournament, which I think was a good thing, right? And they've tried to create more higher leverage regular season games with the in-season tournament, which hasn't totally worked, but I think has not totally not worked. Like, we're sort of we'll see where that goes. The idea of fewer games but more higher profile, higher stakes games, I think, is the general way to kind of approach it. There's also the wonder. I mean, teams do things that they find that will work until the rules change and then the incentives change, right?
For sure,
right? So teams are playing faster because it's generating better offense because you get shots quicker before the defense sets up. Blah blah blah. At some point, if the pace starts to create more injuries, is that a different kind of incentive? Do people is someone going to think? Determine, hey, if we play slower, our guys will stay healthy and we'll get better results in the long term. I don't know. These are complicated things, but everyone's always looking for an edge, and everyone's playing much faster than they used to because they've discovered, like, playing fast, getting up more threes, not letting the defense get set, more in transition. Transition offense is better on average than half-court offense, even if you're bad at it, you know? Like, a bad transition offense is better than a good half-court offense in terms of points per possession, and so you play faster, and it's a complicated mix of stuff.
I feel like it's also, some of it is like branding or marketing. So we associate that a lot of this starts with the Warriors, but in like, it's not like the concepts were really that new. I mean, Paul Westhead's running the don't let the defense get set, or Jack McKinnon was like all this, don't let the defense get set. All this is, it's been done before, but it's like when it's not successful, because like I kept wondering, if everyone's playing the same way, I am surprised that there are not more teams that try to zig when somebody's zagging. Like, if everything is, basically, if everyone's giving you 15-footers, and everyone's like, well, it's not an efficient shot. It's like, well, it's open. I'm more surprised that the league has almost, like, uniformly decided to play the same way. I've been a little bit surprised that there hasn't been somebody that's tried to attack it differently.
Yeah, I mean, these are all issues. Again, these issues may be completely irrelevant to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s turf toe injury.
Yeah, this just shows where my brain went on to July the 1st.
Right.
Well, because, like, it's honestly, the period that I, as someone, like, grew up loving playing baseball, the period from, like, I felt like really 2010 to about, like, that decade, 2010, 2020, it was unwatchable for me because it was just so boring. Everybody's doing the same thing. It was guy comes out, throws it hard as he can. Everybody's swinging for the fences. There was no different styles. Like, everybody was just doing the same thing. I almost think like you need variety to make it interesting.
Three true outcomes of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is strikeout, walk, and home run, right?
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I get it. It's analytically driven and whatnot. But right. In terms of, because you and I were talking about this yesterday, whatever the win total comes out for the Grizzlies, like we kind of take, I'm kind of quietly in on this team. I think that they're going to actually be better, but
I'm concerned. I'm even more concerned than I was yesterday about the slow start.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if they can get past the slow start and get healthy, I think this team could be pretty good by the end of the season. I also think the middle of the West may be a little bit squishier than people expect it to be. But I love the fact that they're probably going to not have Jaren Jackson or Zach Edey on opening night on a team that doesn't have great front court depth right now. I don't love that if you're thinking about strictly if you're thinking strictly in terms of the win loss total next season. And I think there's a tension right now between, I think fans are focused on like the entire world depends on what the opening night lineup is going to be.
Of course,
and
yes.
I don't think that's the way the franchise is thinking about it. I think there's a tension between those two things right now. But I don't think it's great that they're likely going to start the season with Jackson and Edey both unavailable.
Well, because we're George and I were also discussing Jaws. I think Jaws' attitude clearly improved when they started playing in a way, in a fashion that was more conducive to him.
Everything we can tell, Jaws seems to be bought into what's going on. To the degree we can tell.
Yeah, no, we don't have to wonder. He lets us know. But that was also the thing. It was like, okay, who's setting the ball screen?
Well, that's the issue. That was one of my biggest concerns with the Edey injury. I'm concerned about him and the long-term big man with that kind of injury. But I think it's particularly bad for the new head coach trying to install his system for the first time and having the system be rooted really heavily in the way you use this highly specific and sort of rare kind of player in Zach Edey. And now you take him out. Not only is he going to miss time, but the whole training camp where you're trying to install your system, you don't have Edey there as a component of that, and you don't have another player who replicates that. And that's why I was wondering about in free agency, like going to find some big who can sort of play the same style. Can't find another 7'5", 300-pound dude, but a guy who like screen and crash the boards. They don't have anyone else who plays that style. That is the opposite of the Jay Huff style. And Jay Huff's a good player, but he is completely 180 stylistically from that.
Well, and especially when you consider it's like, okay, if the idea is how do you get your best player to play his best?
Right.
Like that was what was successful. And
right. So now you do have to play much differently than you ideally want to play in order to compete early on. You're going to be playing small, spread out, space it out, you know, and try to out quick teams. But then you get Zach Edey back. You're trying to completely change the way you play on the fly. I think these are all concerns short term. Yeah.
Why do you think what were teams doing to Ja before they, whatever, you know, went stylistically back to running the stuff that he was more comfortable with? How were they defending him that gave him so much problems or gave him so many problems?
I mean, that's so hyper specific. I'm not really prepared to break down the tape on that right now. But I think the way the offense was working early on, it was dependent on guys just beating guys one-on-one without the help of a screen. Ja can clearly do that, but I think he's good in the tight spaces. He likes using the screen. He likes like navigating, and it's not just that he's fast. He's also good at sort of, you know, using his body in tight spaces and feeling the space around him, feeling the bodies around him. I mean, he did it with Jonas Valanciunas. He did it with Steven Adams. Like, he's good at that. The other thing is that the way the offense worked is that the ball was out of his hands a lot. And I think he can be good off the ball as a cutter, but he's not a shooting threat. And he didn't seem totally bought into the idea of, like, I'm going to be in the corner right now while this other action is happening. He likes to be at the center of the action.
It's like the Tony, go stand in the corner. Like, stay away from... Is there anyone that's good off the ball that isn't a good shooter? That's kind of the idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, for guards in particular.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I guess bigs would be. I'm thinking more perimeter guys.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, Ja because he isn't above the rim threat. He's a lob threat. He's a guy I think is pretty good as a cutter. But no, I mean, mostly perimeter players off the ball. You're thinking in terms of spacing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they were doing more cutting stuff early on last season.
We'll never get a straight answer, But do you think if they would have known this on Sunday, that they would have done the Cam Spencer deal?
Oh, that, I thought you were going to go to if they'd known this on Sunday, when they'd done the Jaren deal. And I was going to say, A, they did know this. And, well, no, I mean, this is a good question, because they did both those things the same day, and they knew it. I think they did know it. Because they did not that it would have mattered. This Turfto thing, it means nothing in the scheme of a five-year contract decision.
No, to be clear, I was not asking that question.
No, but it relates, now that I think about it, because if they knew it for the Jaren, they knew it for the Cam. It's a good question. When they made the agreement with Jaren, they knew he had this issue. This issue didn't happen yesterday. Maybe it happened, I don't know, 3 days ago, 2 days ago. I don't know when it happened, but this is not like you make an agreement with Jaren and then he has a turf toe injury. That's sort of the way it processed publicly. But I think they knew this already. The Cam thing, I mean, I brought this up yesterday when I didn't know about the Jaren thing. And now it highlights it even more. I just don't get why you would lock him in on the main roster immediately, especially when on the same day you're signing Ty Jerome, who is like a better version of the same kind of player.
Yes.
So again, they're thinking long term, or at least medium term, and not immediately. And I get that, but I just don't. Part of it just maybe an evaluation difference. Like, I think Cam Spencer might end up being a decent player, but like, I'm not sold he's ever going to be a rotation player, like a main rotation player in a good NBA team. He's like, what, 25, and he's 6'1", and he's, I don't know.
I mean, I definitely agree with you. He feels a little redundant, and like, to be clear, like, I like Cam. Like, I think
people are enamored with the got the dog in him stuff, right?
I think it's even simpler than that. It's like, he talked to us, to Kevin Durant, and we loved it.
Yeah. No, and like, so I don't mean this as a negative commentary on the player. I mean this in a, you have only 15 roster spots.
No, and my whole thing is, I can't stand when teams bid against themselves. And while this isn't like some massive money,
it's a minimum, but it's a guaranteed 2 years.
It didn't feel like there was anyone that you were trying to beat the clock on. You know what I mean?
Right. So to me, I always thought they would put him on the main roster. I thought it would happen later in the summer. And to me, the filling up all the roster spots immediately, when you knew Zaidi was going to miss the start of the season already. And now you add this to it, and maybe you knew, maybe you didn't. I'm not internal as far as that goes. But you do have this, again, I get back to what I said a minute ago. There's a pressure point between, like, the utility of the roster on opening night and what they're trying to do with it over the course of, say, the next year. And maybe they see Cam Spencer as someone who could be part of the story over multiple seasons. And they're more concerned about that than, like, you know, do they have enough bigs to field a basic – A conventional NBA lineup on opening night, you know? I mean, this is basketball. Like, just put, you don't have to play 4 and 5 because you don't have a guy who's available with a C next to his name.
Right.
You just sort of, like, you know, you can adjust your style. So I think they'll adjust their style. But I am interested to see whether they are done or whether they will shift the roster to add another big. And if doing so, they're going to have to get off a player and free up a roster spot. And I'm not sure how you do that. You just signed Cam Spencer. To me, Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams are too talented on too small of a contract to try to get off of those guys just to free up a roster spot.
The opportunity for
a short-term stopgap center. So the obvious guys would be Jay Huff, who already plays that position, but maybe you want a different style of guy, or John Conchar, who is the obvious guy. But, like, I don't know. At this point, like, that contract, I would sort of like to have that at the trade deadline, unless I'm trading for – I'm not interested in trying to move off the Conchar contract for someone who's going to help me for 1 or 2 months, and not, I'm looking at more long term than that. I think at a bare minimum, they have to be, I think everyone who's going to Las Vegas, Drew, if you're listening, everybody has to get on board with this. It's a scouting mission in Las Vegas to find the next Jay Huff. Remember, Jay Huff was on the Orlando Magic Summer League team last year, who was a free agent who had two-way eligibility. And the Grizzlies signed him to a two-way after summer league. They need to be on the lookout. Who is the big man who is a free agent and has two-way eligibility that can play NBA minutes right now? Try to find that guy.
And I would prefer with some mass.
Yeah, different style, but I'm saying a big.
I want somebody that can maybe set a screen.
Right. I'm not talking about stylistically. I'm talking about a guy with a C next to his name who you can sign to a two-way and put in an NBA game tomorrow. Maybe that, at a bare minimum, they should be looking to do that.
Was it surprising to you that via the draft, free agency, that they did not add another big?
Well, Yes, but I will say the only mechanism they had in free agency other than the minimum contracts was the room exception. And again, I said this yesterday, I think they looked at that and said, who's the best player we can add over the life of the contract? And I think you look around, Kevon Looney got the room exception to go to New Orleans.
Yep.
Would you rather have Kevon Looney or Ty Jerome? Now, Kevon Looney may help you more on opening night when your two bigs are out.
Right.
But who's going to give you more value over a 2 or 3 year contract? It's Ty Jerome. He was third and sixth man of the year last year. Kevon Looney is like a third string center on a fully healthy team, you know? So I think they were looking to add talent, and I don't see anyone out there who signed for the room exception or less who's better than Ty Jerome. So I think they probably made the right call on talent. At that point, you're looking at minimum contracts, and again, like you only had one open roster spot, and you gave it to Cam Spencer. Like you could have given that to, I don't know, Jericho Sims or Larry Nance Jr. or somebody like this. I think they probably decided one of those guys would help us more in November of 2025. We think Cam Spencer will help us more over the course of a 2-year deal. Whether they're right about that or wrong about that, I don't know, but I think that was the calculation that was made.
Is it possible they didn't think those guys would sign for minimums?
Oh, I'm just throwing those guys as examples. Those are guys who did sign for minimums, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know who the Grizzlies could have signed for a minimum, but those are guys who did sign for minimums. So there are guys like that out there. You know, there's still guys out there, mostly guys you've never heard of, right? Well, Charles Bassey, could he sign for a minimum? The Toronto Raptors just signed a guy whose name I can't pronounce, Sandro Mamashukeli or whatever, to a minimum to be a backup center. Like, those guys are out there.
Our boy Parker Fleming was, like, on Google Translate going from, like, there was, like, he had, like, some note from a Serbian guy that was, like, I didn't see that one coming up, but it...
Well, apparently there's more.
Maybe
there's,
the guy who is the guy they have the draft rights to? He didn't tear his ACL. Is that right?
Tariq Bevarovic.
Apparently there's some more reporting coming out of Europe about Tariq Bevarovic, who's a small forward, not a big, who the Grizzlies have rights to, maybe coming over. There was a report like 2 months ago that the Grizzlies were signing him, and that report, I can tell you, was not true. I don't have any new intel on that, except that I know that the Grizzlies have 16 players on a 15-man roster right now, and they need a big. So I don't know if I see them bringing over a small forward right now.
Feels unlikely.
It does, but I don't have any. I know that 2 months ago when that got reported, it was not true. Yeah. Where it came from, I don't know, but it was not true. Has that changed? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I also feel like a lot of times the reports start from overseas.
They come from the players.
Yeah, they don't understand the mechanisms.
I think what happens with some of the overseas stuff, because this has happened for years. I remember the year that there was some report from one of those places that the Grizzlies are signing Luigi Datome, and the Grizzlies were never going to sign Luigi Datome or whatever, this Italian forward. And so I think what happens there is the players get over their skis about what might happen in talking to reporters. Like, I think these reports that have been coming out of Europe about Tariq Bevarovic coming over, what that tells me is that Tariq Bevarovic wants to come over.
Yeah.
And so we'll see.
All right, lastly, what is the opening night lineup?
You know, I think it's my guess.
Because I talked myself into, it's going to be Jaren and Santi. Like, at a certain point, it's like.
Well, it's not going to be Jaren, probably. Yeah, it might be Jaren, but probably not going to be Jaren. So my guess is the opening night lineup is Ja Morant, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jalen Wells, Santi Aldama, Brandon Clark. And that's your opening night starting five.
Okay, what's the game two lineup? I'm assuming Brandon's only playing one of those.
J Huff, man. J Huff, Santi, and just like, I think you're going to have to, Gigi's going to have to play some four. Yeah, Vince Williams, who's 6'4", but the rebounds like a power forward, maybe he gets into a game. They have a small team right now. They have a small team even if Zach Edey and Jaren Jackson are healthy. They've really, like, you know, first hour of free agency, they added two players who were not on the 50-man roster to the 15-man roster. Those were Ty Jerome and Cam Spencer, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, they're pretty small right now.
No, I was also thinking about, like, in these
And terms, the one guy you know is going to be on a two-way is Javon Small, who lives up to his name.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, the other aspect of it is, like, I know we keep trying to trade Jitty, but he does rebound. And then on top of that, like, we got into a playoff series. I get it. There was some context. But, like, Isolo trusted him more than other guys.
No, that's a guy who probably would play some power forward in this situation because he rebounds. Again, I'll reiterate, I have no issue with him trading John Conchar.
I'm with you here.
But
one,
that contract now has it's only 2 years left at $6.5 million. The way NBA trade rules work And because the Grizzlies are so far under the tax line, they could trade that 6.5 for $13 million.
Yeah.
So if I'm trading that and bringing back more salary, I sort of want to, you know, get somebody who I think can help me for more than a week or two with that. And I am not looking to attach a first-round pick to John Conchar, unless it's part of, like, I'm really bringing back something good, right?
Yeah.
So there's a limit to, as much as they need a big in the first month of the season, there's a limit to how much asset value I'm willing to give up for a stopgap, you know, depth center, you know?
Yeah, basically a rental. I mean, it's even like a short-term rental. It's not even for the whole season. It's like a rental. Like, we need you to get us through this period of time.
Right.
Like, that's it.
This is why, you know, if they had an open roster spot, I would advocate, like, sign somebody for a minimum and, you know, let them help you for a while. But they just don't have a roster spot right now.
Chris, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington, again, of the Daily Memphian. We come back. Sam Hardiman of the Daily Memphian joins us next right here on Jeff Wright & Company. 92.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
FM, ESPN.
Sam Hardiman is a reporter over at the Daily Memphian, focuses on government and politics. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Sam Hardiman. Sam, rather than figure out what people are upset about XAI right now or this week, let's talk a little ball. All right, first, actually, let's talk a little puck. How upset are you that Marchand's staying in Florida?
I'm not upset. I'm sad. So I guess upset is sad. Like
what was the deal Marchand wanted from the Bruins? Didn't he want like 3 years?
He wanted longer. He wanted a longer deal. But it was about the 6-year deal he got. They were sort of skeptical of that. the Bruins were. It's sad. I'm a little apprehensive. I think he'll still go into the Hall of Fame as a Bruin. Like, I'm pretty sure of that. But I'm also like before I was 100% sure, right? Because it was his only team besides the cameo with Florida. Now he signed a 6-year deal at age 37. Like, even though hockey aging curves are weird compared to like they're kind of like golf aging curves, like a little bit, like you don't just completely fall off the cliff. Like,
you can still be crafty. You can still be crafty in your late 30s and 40s. Like, you can still kind of get it done with moxie.
Right, exactly. And so, like, at the same time, I'm not super, like, I don't want to give a 37-year-old a 6-year deal. At the same time, like, this guy is my favorite player, and it's going to hurt when he comes up to the Garden and kicks our ass a couple times a year for the next couple of years.
Do you find the Panthers annoying?
I find, like, the whole, and respectfully, the New Englander talking in the South here, I find the whole success of Southern hockey teams to be weird. I don't find it annoying, but I find just, like the Sun Belt teams, the teams with no state income tax, so they get free agents, right? Like, there's a huge benefit to Brad Marchand signing that deal with the Panthers, right? No state income tax, which means half of his games plus the games he plays against Tampa Bay and the Predators, he's not getting taxed on, and when he goes to Dallas. So, like, that's like, I find that part of it annoying. I was rooting for Edmonton just because I feel like Canada needed to get off the schneid and they did it. I don't actually find the Panthers themselves annoying.
No, it also feels like they're extremely competent. Like, yes, they have advantages, but there are other teams that have advantages. They do better with it.
Right. They are actually a legitimately well-run franchise, and they have continued to sort of populate their roster in intelligent ways. Like, it's amazing to me every year. Like, the Bruins just did this with Elias Lindholm. Like, their NHL teams, there are some of them that are just like, okay, we're going to throw, like, roughly what is the max we can usually pay a free agent, which is like $8-9 million. The max is a little higher, but like $8-9 million is usually what teams have under the cap to, like, give somebody. And it's amazing to me every year that the NHL teams just, like, give a guy that's completely overperformed his peripherals $8-9 million, and then they're surprised he sucks. While teams like the Stars, the Vegas Golden Knights, right? Another no income tax state, by the way. Florida, like Tampa Bay, they keep making shrewd decisions and throwing good money at people, and all of a sudden these guys, like, perform. And it's just, it is really interesting to me.
All right, let's actually now talk a little ball. So we've got some win totals. Are you, the win totals that you've been eyeing, have you been more NFL or you've been more college?
I've been more NFL. I don't have a good read on college. The transfer portal for me, like, there's just too much information. Like, I would have to read like a book in order to feel competent. Not that I'm competent anyway.
And I feel like the other thing is, it's like, you can even feel like, I feel like it's the depth now. So it's like, you can have a read on a team and then one or two injuries and all of a sudden, like, their bottom drops out. Okay, so for NFL win totals, I saw this from Warren Sharp, because I find myself every single year trying to figure out a way of talking myself into the Bengals. This was an insane stat. Y'all ready for this? Joe Burrow's been blitzed at the lowest rate of any quarterback in the last 4 years. He has been hit within 2.5 seconds of the snap at the highest rate. Burrow's been hit within 2.5 seconds or less 25% of the time, more than the second most quarterback. Despite the horrible pass protection, he's number one in completion percentage, number one in third down completion percentage, number two in accuracy, number two in passer rating, number three in touchdown rate, number four in TD to interception rate, number five in yards per attempt, seven in success rate, and 10 in EPA per attempt. So, all that is to say, I keep trying to talk myself into the Bengals because I believe in Burrow, but I think what Warren's telling me is, even if you believe in Burrow, he's been carrying that team and they still stink.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, right? Like, what do they put their cap towards? They put their cap towards Joe Burrow's weapons, right? Like, that's what they're doing. And they're not good on the defensive side of the ball. Like, we don't really know what that division is besides the Ravens, I would say. Like, the Ravens are good. What are the Browns? I don't know. The Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, that just like they're kind of betting on culture to like weigh out the weirdness of Aaron Rodgers at this point. Maybe that works. Maybe it doesn't. Who knows? I just can't get there on the Bengals just because like they're one injury to either Higgins or Chase away. And you're just like, this is a unidimensional team. And you're sort of like it's all priced in because we all just want to watch Joe Burrow put up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that's it. Okay, so who are you high on, or who are you willing to sell? Because I get the sense you don't want to sell. You don't want to sell. You don't want to take the under on the win total. Just it feels like that's a no touch for you.
That's a no touch for me. I would say the under that I did take. Shout out to my guy Lucas Fenton, who may be listening here. Great reporter at the Commercial Appeal. Big Lions fan. I took the under of Lions 10.5 today. I did it. Like, I think Frank and Ragnow retiring is a big deal.
Yep.
People don't realize that. They lost both coordinators, okay?
Yep.
And, like, Dan Campbell, great leader. Like,
it's always the hardest thing for the CEO coaches is when you lose your coordinators, getting the hires right the next time is always the hardest thing.
Right. Like, it just seems like they are due for regression in what is an excellent division, right? Like, if I were betting on a division to have all four teams make the playoffs, which you can bet on, I'm not going to do it, the NFC North would be the division, right? Like, that would be the division I would bet on all four teams making the playoffs. But I think it makes a lot of sense for them to step back this year, and I think at 10.5, like, they could still go 10-7, and I still win. I'm not against it.
Well,
team
also,
I'm really high on.
Well, go also, ahead. I was going to say, to your point, listen, I stand with Jared Goff. I still have all my stock. But I think last year, I think it was like, they had 11 games indoors. This year, it's like you got your 8 home games, and then I don't think they have a Rams game, but that's that weird. It's indoors in the sense that it has a roof, but the weather will be fine. But it's like nine of the 17 games are indoors this year. He's not a great bad weather quarterback.
No, and that Rams game is against McVay, who obviously knows how to play him, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I think that's a fair point. Do you really want a sicko bet?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So this is a real sicko bet. But today I went in, and ESPN Bet has these available for the sickos out there. And I bet under 13.5 NFC seed for the New Orleans Saints. I am fading the Saints that bad that I think they're going to finish 14th, 15th, or 16th in the NFC.
All right, I'm trying to think who the other contenders would be. My Giants?
Possible, very possible.
I actually think the Giants are better than they were last year. The schedule is brutal, and then I also think they're gonna switch to Dart as soon as possible. And so that's a contender. I weirdly don't think the Panthers are going to be that bad.
I'm high on the Panthers. I bet on them to win the division, actually.
I actually don't hate that at all. All right, the Cardinals could be up there. I mean, if Penix doesn't hit the Falcons, right?
Yeah, but the Falcons, but Penix actually might be good.
Yeah, no, I'm high on Penix. I actually think he is a good player, but, you know what I mean? We saw a limited sample size. He had some moments, but I don't hate that because in the end, what they're either playing, they're either going to go with Rattler or Tyler Shuck. And by the way, I'm pretty sure Tyler Shuck is older than Spencer Rattler.
I think that is true, which is weird because Rattler is not young.
I kind of like that. Was it juiced?
It was a little juiced. I think it was like -115.
Like, okay, well, that's not bad. But it's not like -130 or anything, right?
No, exactly. No, it's not. Yeah. So
I don't hate that. Because I'm with you. I think they're going to be bad. I actually think that they're okay with being bad.
They want to be bad. Yeah, I don't think
they either want of two things. They either want to find out that they hit on Tyler Shuck or be bad, and then hopefully the Arch Manning.
Right. Like, well, I mean, they had like a real incentive for Arch with all of like the historical parallels, right?
He's from New Orleans.
Like, he's from New Orleans. He went to high school in New Orleans. His grandfather.
He literally
is
born and raised in New Orleans.
Right. Is the greatest citizen of New Orleans, maybe ever.
I think they're the most famous family in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Mulkeys. No, not really. That's Baton Rouge. Never mind.
All right. But what about – how are we feeling about the Pats?
The over 8.5, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. Everyone wants to bet the Pats. Everyone's like, oh, they've improved. You know, I caught myself getting hyped yesterday. I was, like, reading about Christian Barmore and the addition of Milton Williams is going to free up Christian Barmore. Mike Vrabel's talking great about Christian Barmore, and I'm just like, all right, buddy, calm down.
I'll tell you this, though.
The line isn't that good.
The line is bad. I do think, though, Vrabel himself, what did y'all finish with, 4 wins?
4, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And how many losses would you attribute directly to coaching? Because having watched way too many Patriots games, I feel like it was at least 3.
It was a couple. It was a couple of games. I would say at least like 2 or 3. At the same time, like, I mean, the talent on the roster was atrocious, right?
It's not a good roster.
Not a talented team. Not a good roster. It's in a much improved roster. Is it that much better of a roster? No. Stephon Diggs with the whole, you know, baggy situation on the boat, a little weird, but did show up to OTAs after that. Like, I think like 8.5 is the right number. Everyone wants the over because Vrabel's a talent maximizer. Vrabel is going to win you some close games, right? Like, I get it. They're also just not that good yet. And, like, maybe it's okay for them not to be that good this year. Get a decent pick. And then in the last 2 years of the Drake May rookie contract, you really go for broke.
All right. What did you get that Panthers price at to win the division? I don't hate that.
For division, plus 400. So it's an implied probability of 20%, which is a little high probably. But it's not horrible. And, like, I sort of believe in Bryce Young. Like, I kind of am always this guy that once, like, the highly touted guy gets panned and, like, is getting beaten up in the mass media, I'm like, bye.
Well, this is also my point. My always point with him was people acted like – people that just watched the NFL acted like we've never compared Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud ever. It's like they're in the same – they were in the same high school class. They're from the same area. Like, literally – these two guys have been compared their entire football careers, and everyone always says the same thing. They're both really good. Bryce is a little better. And, like, people just acted like all of a sudden, like, Bryce is horrific. I'm with you.
Well, and just look at the situation that they went into.
Correct.
Right? Like it was completely situation dependent. Like, you know, you got D'Amico Ryans for C.J. Stroud. You got Nico Collins as a weapon, right? Like, Bryce Young didn't get any of that.
No, like the offensive line situations, it was all of it. Okay, this beat's talking about XAI. I enjoyed this. All right, Sam, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye. That is Sam Hardiman. I kind of like the sicko.
I like the sicko
Saints,
bet.
The
yeah.
Saints could really be that bad, and you also get a little buffer. So he needs them to finish in the bottom 3 of the NFC.
Yep. There were a couple other candidates I was looking at in there. You said Arizona's up there.
Yeah, we have.
Hear me out, maybe. Sam Darnold, smoke and mirrors on Seattle.
I don't hate that. Although, I do think that coach is competent.
Who's coaching over there
Mike now? McDonald or whatever.
Who's the one in Tennessee?
That is
I get those two
Callahan.
Yes, Brian Callahan, you're right. Because I was looking, I don't see no one in the North, the Giants really in the East, everyone in the South maybe.
I mean, that's the thing is like in the South, but there's also the reality of nobody's that good.
But I also don't think Carolina, Atlanta, or Tampa are that bad either.
Correct. And so you can wind up in that situation where you win 2 or 3 division games and he starts, but this is why I kind of like it's the bottom 3. So he's got a little bit of a buffer.
Yeah. It doesn't.
I don't think anyone in the West sucks.
No. Arizona's got some talent for sure, especially if Kyler's healthy.
I mean, I guess the other possibility, and I don't. If
what
Caleb's
happened,
just really bad.
And I don't.
I don't think he is.
I don't expect that to happen. And also, the Bears put a fair bit around him now again.
And they have a competent coach.
Who is Exactly.
I mean, that to me, like, that's a huge part of it.
I mean, we very well could end up just, I don't want to say missing, but a team could just have all the injuries like San Fran did last
year. No, I mean, that's
like half of the Niners
part
just
of the
fell
buffer.
Apart. Yeah.
That's part of the buffer. Let's see. Let's hit the music. Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. We will have, it is Wednesday. I'm trying.
They switched it up today. Let me go to the show tweets.
Well, I was trying to get a Brad text message.
I know they've got Fish coming
up. Yeah, Rob Fisher.
Fisher coming up at 11:25. They have a new guest on. They have Carl Davis, the managing director of operations for Memphis Allies. And our guy, Coach Norton Hurd, at 1:25.
At 1:25. George will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cerrito going to be with us today. Cerrito's already loaded some loaded the Google Doc with some topics, so that's exciting. Looking forward to that. CJ Hurt will be with us. It's Wednesday, so Kyle will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock. Want to thank George for being in here. We'll try to do better tomorrow, but for now, our work here is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.